Okay, and welcome back to the JWP Linux podcast. I'm hoping everything is okay with y'all. I'd like to continue the SSH note that we had before and talk a little bit about SSH tunneling. An SSH tunnel is sometimes referred to as VPN, is an encrypted network tunnel created through an SSH connection. SSH is frequently used to tunnel insecure traffic over the internet in a secure way. For example, Windows machines can share files using the SMB protocol, which is not encrypted. If you want to mount a Windows file system remotely through the internet, someone snooping the connection could see your files. To mount them, to mount an SMB file system securely, one can establish an SSH tunnel that routes all SMB traffic to a file server inside an SSA encrypted connection. Even though the SMB traffic itself is insecure because it travels within an encrypted connection, it becomes secure. In order to create an SSH tunnel, the SSH client is configured to forward a specified remote port and IP address that is accessible on the SSH server to a port on a local machine. Once the SSH connection has been established, the user can connect to the specified port and a local address to the network services that would otherwise be available only on the remote IP address and port. The SSH tunnel provides a means to bypass firewalls that prohibited certain internet services and provide outgoing connections allowed on port 22 are allowed. For example, many institutions prohibit users from accessing web pages port 80 without directly first being examined by a proxy/filter device. However, if users are able to connect to an external SSH server, it is possible for them to create an SSH tunnel forward port 80 on an external web server to give a port probably on port 80 on a local machine, and thus the web page by typing HTTP /// localhost in the browser. More commonly, users may set up their own proxy server at home using free software such as Squid and construct a tunnel from their workstation to the proxy, next by configuring their local browser to a localhost rather than a corporate proxy server. Users can access any web page they want by bypassing their company's filters and firewalls. Another method to use dynamic port forwarding, which creates a local SOX 4/5 proxy server, can be used to connect, effectively creating an encrypted tunnel to a remote SSH server. The user can then configure his or her applications to use SOX proxy server, usually bypassing systems or firewalls. Okay, boys and girls, we're not saying that it's okay to do that at work or whatever, but a lot of people in China do that, exactly what was described, so that they can see CNN or anything else. So doing it on port 80 is a good, you know, you can do that. It's not hard. You set up a shell account somewhere. You open up a browser port in port 80 in the Netscape, and it works just fine. Okay, moving away from the wiki to an article by Brian Hatch that was published the 1st of June, 2005. The making an SSH is a good thing. You know, tunnels can be created anytime with almost no effort and no programming, which makes it very appealing. SSH forwarding, we'll look at a little bit more in detail. It's an often useful but misunderstood technology. SSH port forwarding can be used to secure communications in a myriad of different ways. For instance, local forward example. Say you have a mail client on your desktop and currently use it to get mail from your POP server on port 110. You may want to protect your POP server connection for several reasons, such as keeping your password from going across the line and clear, or just to make sure no one's sniffing your email you're downloading. Normally, your email client will establish a TCP connection to the server on port 110 and supply your username and password. You can try this yourself using Telnet or the NC command. you type in whatever the username is at desktop, nc mail server 110, and it starts going, and it says it lets you get all your stuff. For instance, you can say, again, username at desktop $ nc mail server 110, and the response is okay, super duper pop 3 mail server, parentheses mail server dot mysp.net ready, and then user, whatever that user is, pass, it's tweenies, okay, user successfully logged on, you list, and that's plus okay 48 142 0243 1 1689 2 1359 3 59 509 4738, and then you type quit, and it says okay, super duper mail server currently signing off, and then your username desktop at $. We can wrap this TCPI connection inside a SSH connection using SSH port forwarding. If you have SSH on the machine to access that offers your service POP 4110 in this case, then SSH to it. If you don't, you can SSH to a server on the same network if the network is trusted, and use SSH instead. Example, username desktop $ and see localhost 999 connection refused. SSH minus L 999 colon mail server colon 110 shell server. You put in your password. You type in the host name, the shell server, and then it's done. Before we connect to the shell server with SSH, nothing was listening on port 999 in our desktop. Once we logged onto the mail server with our tunnel, this port was bound by our SSH process, and the TCP/IP connection to local port 9999 was magically tunneled through the SSH on the other side. Let's describe how this works. You launch the /user/bin/SSH and the SSH command line. The SSH client logs onto the remote machine using whatever authentication method, password, public key, etc. The SSH client binds the local port to the specified port, which was 9999, on the loopback interface on 12.7.0.0.1, and you can do anything on the remote machine you want, tar up some files, write some users, delete, etc., interactive login. When the connection process connects to port 999 on the client machine, the /user/bin/SSH client accepts the connection. The SSH client informs the server over an encrypted channel to create a connection to the destination, in this case, mail port 110. The SSH client takes any bits sent to port 999 and sends them to the server inside the encrypted session, who decrypts them and sends them in the clear to the destination 110 mail server. The server takes any bits from the destination server, mail server's port 1110, and sends it from inside the SSH session back to the client, decrypts it in the clear. When this connection is closed, either point is torn down inside the SSH connection as well. Okay, so that's basically how it works. Sounds a little bit complex to me, but it works pretty good. So let's assume that the mail server has SSH there. So you would say SSH minus V minus capital L space 999 colon mail server colon 110 space shell server. And then it would read the configuration data in etc's /SSH/SSH config, rehost authentication disabled, originating port will not be trusted, connecting to the shell server at IP port 296.62.257.251 on port 22, connections established. Okay, identify the file at /home/bri/space.ssh/identify type 0, identify file /home/bri/space.ssh/id_rsa type 1, identify file /home/bri/ssh/id_dsa type 2. Okay, Next authentication method, password, username, shell server password, the internet, and then authentication succeeded, password, communications to local port 9999 forwarded to remote address port, local host colon 110, local forwarding listening on 102.0.01 port 999 channel 0, new client session, interactive session, request PTY required, request shell. As you can see, there's a brief mention of port 9999 being bound and available for tunneling. We haven't made the connection to this port yet, so the tunnel is not yet active. You can use the special character number escape sequence to see the connections in use. The sequence only works with carriage return, so hit enter a few times before trying it. Enter, 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 special character number. The following connections are open. Number one, client minus session, parentheses T4 R0 I0 slash 0 little 0 big 0 slash O space FD space F slash 6 close parentheses. You can see there's only one connection on your actual SSH section from which you're typing those Linux commands. Now in a different window, if we do telnet to localhost 999, we'll open a new connection through the tunnel, and we can see it from our SSH using the special character number sign. Okay, so here we are. We press enter and use the strange unusual character that's beside the one above the apostrophe. The following connections are open. The client session TR4.0, I've done that thing before, so we're not going to consider it again. It says direct TCIP listing port 999 for mail server port 110. Connect from 27.0.1 port 42789. And then it has a parentheses T4 space R1 I0 slash O slash O slash OFD slash 8. You can see that we now have both have an SSH station and we're both using the plus tunnel and the second entry. If it tells you all you need to know about the connection from the same machine, which we can look up with netstat or LSOF if we're curious about the output. Okay, so that's about it for port forwarding. I hope to do it with a browser one time to really do it, and then do step by step to see if I can really get Firefox to do it through a proxy. All right, y'all take care and have a nice day now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.